Welcome to another edition of Get Lit with Literature. This is Monk. Today, doing a little book review of fascinating little book. Literally a little book. It's 50 pages. Stanford Briefs, published by Stanford University Press. 2015. I just read a review about it, which piqued my interest. The Burnout Society. I think the actual translation would be the Fatigue Society, but in publishing translation to sales to interest people, the phrase became the Burnout Society. And the author is a South Korean-born German philosopher, so the book was translated from the German. Try to pronounce his name, Byung-Chul Han, B-Y-U-N-G hyphen C-H-U L, last name H-A-N, Byung-Chul Han. Now, this is an interesting book. It's a mix. I mean, this is probably a unique book review that I've ever done. It's one of the most thought-provoking books I have read in a long time. A lot of bits I don't even understand what he's saying. It's challenging. It's difficult. Maybe if I studied it and analyzed the verbiage, I might. And then there's parts where I find it very thought-provoking, but I'm not even sure if I agree or disagree, or I agree with some of it, and I maybe don't agree with all of it. But it sort of doesn't matter, because he the gist of what he's saying I find very fascinating and find it very useful and agree with what he's saying and find it very important for what's going on. And one of the gists is on the back cover where he says that denouncing a world in which every against the grain response can lead to further disempowerment, he draws on literature, philosophy, and the social and natural sciences to explore the stakes of sacrificing intermittent intellectual reflection for constant neural connection. So that's the gist there, not necessarily intellectual reflection, but he also gets into just quiet time, contemplation, meditation. Sacrificing intermittent reflection for constant neural connection. So he's talking about the age that we're in with all the technology and the gadgets and the screen time as having a neurological effect on people that is, as it also says on the back cover, our competitive service-oriented societies are taking a toll on us late modern individuals. Rather than improving life, multitasking, user-friendly, in quotes, technology and the culture of convenience are producing conditions that range from depression to attention deficit to borderline personality disorder. So that's the part I find most fascinating, how these gadgets that are supposedly to improve life and are convenience, but the convenience not only are making us lazy, in my opinion, but producing conditions that range from depression to attention deficit to borderline personality disorder. So he gets into a lot about depression and what depression is in the book. So this may well be a two-part. It's going to be hard to sum it up in one part. Some of what first interested me in him was a review I read, and then online an interview where he says, our obsession is no longer for objects but for information and data. Today we produce and consume more information than objects. We actually get high on communication. Libidinal energies have been redirected from objects to non-objects. The consequence is infomania. I like that portmanteau a lot, infomania. I mean, I deal with it online. I do a lot of research and I look at news, and I have to tell myself after a certain amount of time, like, that's enough for now. And then he goes on in he ties it all into the context of the real world. The neoliberal regime, on the other hand, is not oppressive, but seductive and permissive. It exploits freedom instead of suppressing it. We voluntarily and passionately exploit ourselves, believing that we fulfill ourselves. So there's one of those where I agree, but also I think there is suppression, not just exploitation, but there's suppression. But I think the key thing there is that he's showing how this technology, we voluntarily and passionately exploit ourselves, believing that we fulfill ourselves, which is very good example of the thought provoking. So what I think about after I read that is that it's kind of like we've been given these gadgets and they're almost like, you know, companions or babysitters. And he talks about how, you know, individual, it's all about the person and the product. And so, you know, we do all these online things and it's like we promote ourselves to the point of, in a sense, exploiting. We become like a commodity. We've turned ourselves sort of into managers of our own commodities and in that sense exploit ourselves. And the depression happens when the culture is in such a anything is possible mode with this technology and with all that can be done. Then, and the message of today is that, you know, you can do it, anything is possible. And so when that is not met, when there is not a successful result, that is where the depression happens. Because the expectations are so high. And he calls it an excess of positivity. There's like too much positivity going on, which he doesn't mean like we have a good positive attitude. He means that I've heard the phrase toxic positivity, but in this case, and from reading his book, I think he means that the positivity is that there's, you know, again, there's so much that phrase, you know, anything is possible. And sometimes I've heard that phrase for years. It's like a you know, bumper sticker kind of thing. You know, think, you know, anything, you do anything with your imagination, anything is possible. Sure, that has its place, but then tell that to, say, you know, Julian Assange, who's in prison for telling the truth and being tortured for umpteen years. Tell that to the native peoples of Tohono O'odham on the border in Arizona and Mexico with Israeli spy towers. As they, you know, they try to do their gardening and there are spy towers and fences on and border checks. So yeah, anything's possible, but it gets into that, you know, overly positive kind of thing. And then he goes on in this interview, he goes on to say, what I've heard native people say, Earth is not a resource, not a mere means to achieve human ends. Our relationship to nature today is not determined by astonished observation, but solely by instrumental action. The Anthropocene is precisely the result of total subjugation of Earth and nature to the laws of human action. It is reduced to component of human action. Man acts beyond the interpersonal sphere into nature by subjecting it entirely to his will. He thereby unleashes processes that would not come about without his intervention and lead to a total loss of control. It is not enough that we now have to be more careful with Earth as a resource. Rather, we need a completely different relationship with Earth. We should give back. We should give it back its magic, its dignity. We should learn to marvel at it again. Natural disasters are the consequence of absolute human action. We should learn to marvel at it again. So I think, again, in the context of the technology with all the online, I mean, you know, you can see photos of beautiful sunsets and in that it's like an electronic marvel, but we're forgetting to actually marvel at the actual sunset, sunrise, whatever. So that is just talking about the book before I'm even getting to the book. So there's definitely going to be more than one part. It's only a 50-page book. I underlined a lot of lines here. One thing I found fascinating is that he also refers, he draws it in this context of talking about previous ages and comparing that to the immune system. He calls it the age of immunology, where it was like battling. Things had to do with the battle against something else. Whereas now, it's in a neurological age, so we're not battling something else. It's like we're battling our own energies. Everything is presentable there. Everything is available. All the gadgets and this and that, all the conveniences are here. So it's not like a negativity. Everything is switched to the positivity side. And I don't know if I'm explaining it well, because I'd have to study it way more to be more precise, but I'm trying to convey the gist. Here he gives an example. He talks about the neuron system. Oh, he also talks about the positivity is too much of the same. Everything is the same. And I see that for years. You know, you go wherever you go, you could travel anywhere and go to the same gas station, the same restaurant, the same clothing store. And then online, you know, I guess you could say there's so much of the same. The same news, the same shtick, the same videos, the same promotion, that kind of thing. But here he says, neuronal violence does not proceed from system foreign negativity. Instead, it is systemic. That is, system imminent violence. Depression, ADHD, and burnout syndrome point to excess positivity. Burnout syndrome occurs when the ego overheats, which follows from too much of the same. The hyper in hyperactivity is not an immunological category. It represents the massification of the positive. So that's a gist of what he gets at. And then I'm actually going to read the ending of the book, because there's a bunch of times where he gives it's a good summary of what I would call the thesis. So I'll give the thesis this last page of the book, and then in another section I'll go back and go over it bit by bit. The capitalist economy absolutizes survival. It is not concerned with the good life. Actually, that's the people of Latin America would call that buen vivir. You can look that up. It's a way of life. The capitalist economy absolutizes survival. It is not concerned with the good life. It is sustained by the illusion that more capital produces more life, which means a greater capacity for living. The rigid, rigorous separation between life and death casts a spell of ghostly stiffness over life itself. Concern about living the good life yields to the hysteria of surviving. The reduction of life to biological vital processes makes life itself bare and strips it of all narrative. It takes livingness from life, which is much more complex than simple vitality and health. The mania for health emerges when life has become as flat as a coin and stripped of all narrative content, all value. Given the atomization of society and the erosion of the social, all that remains is the body of the ego, which is to be kept healthy at any cost. The loss of ideal value leaves, other than the exhibition value of the ego, only health value behind. Bare life makes all teleology vanish, every in order to that would give reason to remain healthy. Health becomes self-referential and voids itself in purposiveness without purpose. So it goes on to say the inner logic of achieve, that's another theme that he mentions over and over in the book, is the achievement society, that it's all about, you know, all the tools that we have now are all about achieving and doing. The inner logic of achievement society dictates its evolution into a doping society. Life reduced to bare vital functioning is life to be kept healthy unconditionally. Health is the new goddess. This is why bare life is holy. The homines sacri of achievement society also differ from those of the society of sovereignty on another score. They cannot be killed at all. Their life equals that of the undead. They are too alive to die and too dead to live. So I think in that he's referring to this sort of hyperactivity and this constant on the go, and everything's at your fingertips, and you can do this, and you can achieve, and all the kind of, all the, you know, the workout health mania, which obviously, you know, has its place, but to the point where that has become the societal programming, whereas stopping to make time to have genuine, you know, learning and interaction and contemplation about what's really going on, and holistic health and spiritual health becomes secondary to, you know, quote, being in good shape, physically fit and being in good shape so you can achieve more and do more. So that's scratching the surface. That's why I said this is a very thought-provoking book, and I'll do at least another part of this to try to convey what I find is useful and pique interest in this. I think it's a very important discussions that people need to be having nowadays in this, because the more we sort of overachieve, the more we need the resources from the Mother Earth, and the more exploitation and the more destruction we do to feed this addiction of infomania and achievement and accomplishment on steroids. So thank you for listening. Have a good one. Be well.